Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Let me fill you in. Remember, Deuteronomy means second law. And again, this is Moses' farewell address. As you see, you know I like to repeat things over and over again to bring you up to speed on certain things. And just remember Moses as this faithful pastor, this shepherd, this prophet of God for these couple million people. Remember, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. So as a faith, any good shepherd should do, any father would do, he's just warning and reminding the people of the way they're supposed to act once they get into that promised land. What they're supposed to do once they go in and take the land. And he's reminding them. He reminded them of their forefathers and their past failures in the wilderness wanderings. He reminded them of all that. He reminded them of the Lord God's great works for them, that they were a peculiar people, chosen of God out of all the nations that were on the face of the earth. He reminds them of all that. And then last time we talked about from the beginning of chapter 12 how when he said, when you go into the land, I'm going to set up a place of worship, right? A place of worship. And he said, when you go into the land, be careful not to follow the gods of the other nations. As a matter of fact, and we're going to get into it again, you'll see God deals violently with these false gods and with these false religions. He has zero tolerance for it. He said, you're to cut it off. You're to cut down their groves, tear down their high places. And he's going to get into, even in chapter 13, he goes, if there's a city overtaken, he goes, you destroy that whole city and you make a heap of it. And you leave it that way as a sign that these people worshipped false gods. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about what you can get from that city and the spoils of that city. You make a heap of it, he tells them. And remember, the application for the Christian is what? Again, for us, we're blessed. Our promised land is to walk victoriously in Jesus Christ. That's our promised land. Remember, God says, when I bring you into this nation, when I bring you into this land, a blessed land, a land flowing with milk and honey, remember what he said. He said, my eyes have been on that land forever, he said. And even though there were pagan peoples living there, I still bless it. It's a fertile land where the rain comes constantly. A land flowing with milk and honey, fruits, herbs, so on and so forth. I've blessed that land not because of those pagan nations, but because I knew I was going to give it to you, God said. And God said, when you go into this land, remember what he said. He goes, you ought to possess it, and I'm giving it to you. Remember that. That's kind of an oxymoron. Well, God's just handing it over to you. It's yours, but you have to take it, right? That's how it is in the Christian life and our Christian walk. God promises us victory. He promises us prosperity in Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He promises us that. But we have to take it. We have to trust Him. We have to go forward with the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word. We have to take those vain imaginations that we so often give into, right? And we cast them down and bring them captive to Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our promised land. Romans 6, 7, and 8, that's what it's all about. Romans 6 says, when you come to Christ, you were crucified with Christ. Romans 7 says, most Christians end up wandering in the wilderness for a long time in Romans 7. In Romans 8, is the victorious Christian walk. God wants us to go from Romans 6 to Romans 8. But he knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows we end up wandering around in Romans 7 and vacillating back and forth. Oh, do I want to live for God? Do I not want to live for God? Oh, I'm trying to live for you, Lord, but I can't live for you. You know, the things I'm trying to do that are right, I find myself not doing, and vice versa. That's where we all end up living for a lot of the time in our Christian walk. But God wants us to live in that victory in Romans 8, the promised land, right? And that's what it is with Israel. I'm giving you this land. You possess it. I'm giving it to you. When you go in, you deal violently with these false gods. And you remember I talked about this. Simple application. You've seen all the way through Numbers, all the way through Deuteronomy so far. What's the application for us? You know, that we're all idol worshippers, a lot of us in some way or another, right? We all have things that we battle with. We all have these idols, whether it's, you know, battling with lust, whether it's battling with greed and money, whether it's extortion and taking advantage of people, whether it's hatred and bitterness toward loved ones or a certain people group or whatever it is. Idols in our life, we all have them, right? And God calls us to not compromise with them. Not say, oh, I can go this far with them. I can walk that fine line. God says you deal violently with them and you cut them out, you cut them down, right? And that's what he told Israel to do. Now, as we move into this, you're going to see the dangers here of false religion and why God says don't compromise, don't poke around, don't even look into it. Verse 28, chapter 12. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with your children after you forever. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now remember, I always say this. You hear me say this. One of my teachers said this. Pastor friends of mine, so I say it over and over again. It's stuck in my mind for a long time. Always hear scripture through the ears of the original hearers. Okay? You want to know you're interpreting the Bible correctly? You put yourself in the story. All right? Moses is preaching this long sermon to these multitudes of people. How they heard it all, how if he was shouting it, don't know how, parents taking it in, passing it on to their children. Moses giving this long sermon. Now put yourself in front of Moses. You're listening to this. You were one of the ones that you watched your mother and your father drop dead in the wilderness because they disobeyed God so many times. God wanted to give them the land, but now he's giving it to you. You were a kid. You were 15 years old. Your mother and your father, you buried some 20 years ago. Now, you're the one that's going to go take the land, just like God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? You're the one he's going to give it to you, and now you're listening. You're hearing Moses. You're hearing him talk to you. You're hearing him remind you not to do the things that your forefathers did. You're hearing him reminding you to deal violently with these false gods. Don't tolerate them. And again, he's going to get into it. And next, what he's going to move into here is the dangers of poking around with false gods, the dangers of compromise. Watch, verse 29. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, where you go to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwell in their land. When you beat them, you dwell in their land. Now listen, take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You hear what he says here? Very interesting. He says, when you get into that land, when you go in and take that land, be careful not to poke around. Be careful not to poke around and say, what are these other gods that these nations worshipped? Let me just look into it a little bit. Let me just explore it a little bit. Because I want to know what their practices were, what they did. I want to know. God says, be careful not to do that. Now, why is that? You say, well, if we believe what we believe is true, then we should be able to look around in every other religion and make sure that, you know, the Bible's right. Well, just one second. I'll talk about that. Well, remember what happened to Solomon? Solomon loved the Lord as God. He had the wisest man to ever walk the face of the planet besides the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Until he's, you know, screwed up. And what happened? He didn't follow after false gods right away. He got hooked up with some of the women who worshipped false gods. And then he ended up, you know, falling into some of that. And that started, little by little, the demise of Israel from there on in. God says, be careful not to poke around in these false religions. And listen, I'm going to tell you why. You know, the Bible says, well, Pastor Matt, doesn't the Bible say, test the spirits to see if they're of God? Is that what the Bible says? Test the spirits to see if they're of God? Well, Pastor Matt, doesn't the Bible say, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you? Doesn't the Bible say that? Yeah, it does. You know, if you read that in the context of 1 Peter, you know what it's talking about? Peter's talking about in the context before and afterwards. He's talking about the context of suffering for Jesus Christ. And he goes, why are you going through that suffering? People are going to ask you questions. Be ready to give them an answer. You know what? I'm going through this, but this is what the Lord has done in my life. This is what I see now. This is what God showed me. This is how God gets the glory in my life. That's what he's talking about. Now you say, why not poke around in these false religions? Because I'm going to tell you why. Very simple. Our carnal natures are bent toward those things. Okay? We're already bent that way. God knew his people, Israel. He loved them. He called them out, just like he called you out, a peculiar people, right? A holy nation, a royal priesthood, Peter tells us we are, right? Kings and priests unto our God. He's given us the truth. He's given us guidelines. He's taught us how to walk after him, right? And he warns us, don't go poking around in these false religions. Don't do it. Because he knows our natures. Why is it that we, when we're not following hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, we naturally don't fall, back in love with him. We just fall away from him. And we start to worship our false gods of money, pride, power, whatever it is. We just do it. And God knows that if they go poking around these false religions, that they have the same sinful natures that you and I have, that they're going to start to fall into that. And that's exactly what they did. Hear me. Listen, very simple. Now you can know if something's false, that a religion is false. Very simple. This is how you could know. Somehow, some way, in the midst of that religious system, it brings glory to the carnality of man. Very simple. Now, I didn't read that in any commentary, and I'm not any genius. Any of us can figure that out. In every religious system out there, besides biblical Christianity, it brings glory to the carnality of man. How do you mean? Well, Mormonism, they're good people. I want to study that. Don't they love Jesus? Well, study it a little bit. If you do poke around, be careful. Because eventually they can be their own God. And the lust of men, their hearts comes out too, because they get to have as many celestial wives as they want in heaven. Doesn't sound like that brings glory to Jehovah. It brings glory to man. Now, those are people groups that name the name of Christ. Even under the guise of Christendom. Every false religious group gives glory to man some way. Hear me. Jehovah's Witness. How does that give glory to man? Well, they're zealous. They are. How does it give glory to man? Well, when they come to my door, if they don't want to hear the truth, if they don't want to listen to the gospel, if they don't want to say, in reason, a lot of times they'll come and they'll just want to push. They'll want to tell you. And they'll say, wait a minute. This is what the Bible says, that Jesus died for you. It's not about your works. Your works. You know what one said to me one time? Well, how many doors have you knocked? And I said, well, you sound pretty proud in saying that. Does that bring you glory or Jesus' glory? Now, I wish I was as zealous as they are in some things, believe me. But every religious system brings glory to man. Even the ones that name the name of Christ, I tell people that, if you're 51% good and 49% bad, God will measure some scale and let you in. That brings glory to man, not to God. Every religious system brings glory to man. And that's what we want in our carnal nature. That's why God says, don't go poking around these false religions, because I know you, I know your nature, I know you're bent toward these things already. I'm giving you the truth. Become familiar with the truth, and you won't want to go that way. Listen, you heard the thing about, teaching the people who check for counterfeit money, and you've heard this illustration before. How do they show them? How do they teach them to find the, you know, the false ones, the false 20s, 50s, and 100s? They handle the real money so often, as soon as one comes through the hand, they, there's something wrong here, there's something off here. This isn't right, this isn't genuine, this is not authentic. That's how you know. Every other religious system brings glory to man, except for biblical Christianity. It's just the way it is. God tells them, don't go poking around these false religions. Don't do it. Because you will fall into it, he tells them. He's given us the truth. Now listen, it makes me nervous when Christians want to come and they want to say, oh, you know what? You know, I study this religion, and I study that religion, and I study this religion. I know about that religion. That's good. Worldview seminar. Excellent. I took that class too. All right? What about your Bible? Have you become so familiar with this book that you know this book is alive, and it's powerful, and it's God's Word? Have you become that familiar with this book? That you no longer just read it to hear something new, to learn some new thing. You read it because you know that it's God's holy, God-breathed word. All scripture is God-breathed. Have you become familiar with this book first? Before you go poking around with everything else? Because that's what this book can do for you. It's God's love letter to you. It's God's instruction manual for you. It's his word to you, right? He shows us the love of Jesus Christ in it. Why not become familiar with it? Why not hide it in your heart so you don't sin against him? Why not do that? Why not read the Word of God like a mirror, the way James tells us, when we look into the perfect law of liberty that God has given to us?
When you say, Pastor Matt, that sounds like, you know, mind control. Sounds like mind control. Well, you're telling me not to check out every other religion and this and that, blah, 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 blah. You know, is God trying to brainwash me? Yeah, he already told you, you need to be brainwashed.
He said, you need to renew your mind. How? With his word. He doesn't pull any punches. God doesn't try to fool you. God tells you you're a sinner, your mind's corrupt, that your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it, Jeremiah says? The answer to that is only God can knows the depths of our sinful ways, our hearts and our minds. Right? And he goes, you need a little refreshing. You need a little washing of the water by the word. That's what we need. Man, I thank God that I can come back to this place. And you know why God made me a preacher? Because I'm telling you, sometimes if he didn't, I wouldn't read this book. I'd go away. Because I'm a fool, like 1 Corinthians says. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When you go into the land, be careful. Don't be snared. Don't go asking these other nations how they worshipped and why they worshipped these gods. God said, I'm the God that delivered you. Verse 31, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Listen, God's word is so simple, is it not? So simple that a child could receive Christ. So profound that the greatest scholars of forever can't fully get the depths of it. But he makes it so simple sometimes, doesn't he? Don't add to my commandments. Don't take away from them. Why is it that we're always trying to add a little bit more or take away a little bit? Why is it that when people hear the pure word of God, they get warm for a little while, but then they start to count the cost. And then they say, all right, what am I going to do? Am I going to obey the word here? Or maybe I'll go somewhere else where they worship Jesus, right? But they're going to tell me a little bit of what I want to hear. They got a little false god in there. And I like that because I get my ears scratched a little over there. Really. Itching ears. Well, I like the purity of the word, but sometimes it's too hard for me. I really don't want to hear it. Let me just go somewhere else and where I can get my ears scratched just a little bit. And that's what we do. And now we have whole churches and religious systems set up to scratch people's ears, to just get them in, and then we'll bait and switch them with the gospel. You know that doesn't work. It does not work. Because what you catch them with, that's what they want to be fed with. Because that's what they went for to begin with. So to keep them, you got to keep feeding them with that bait. You can't bait and switch people. Let's just stick to the word of God. He says, look what these false religions did. He said they did what? He goes, don't you do this to me, God says, what these other false religions did to their gods. You know, behind every one of these little idols that they worshipped was a demon. Paul talks about this in the New Testament. He does. The battle for the Christian is the demonic battle for your mind. It's going on right up here. Now, I don't know how it works. I don't, you know, the little cartoons that, you know, the devil's sitting on this shoulder and you got an angel over here and they're fighting each other. I don't know if that all happens, if it happens like that, okay? But I know our battle is fought in the heavenlies and it's the battle for our minds. God says, stick to my word. Just don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just stick to what I'm telling you because I want what's best for you. Does he not? You know, what our sin boils down to sometimes is the question of, do we really trust God? Do we really believe God that he wants what's best for us? Do we really believe it? God tells them, I know what's best for you. I'm telling you what's best for you. Don't go after their gods. Now look at chapter 13. More danger. False religion. If there arise a prophet among you, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Okay, that's good. Whereof he spoke unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. There you go. There's the difference. So even if a dreamer or a prophet comes in and says, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a prophet of God. I'm speaking on God's behalf for you. And I've had a vision. I've had a sign. I can do a sign and a wonder, he says. He goes, even if that comes to pass. Well, God already said before, and he's going to say again, if somebody comes saying they're a prophet and they say something and it doesn't come to pass, you stone them. That doesn't come from me. Man. What if we did that in today's day and age? How many Christian leaders stand up and, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Supposed to happen last May and then October or whatever it was last year. Thank God for his grace. I'm not saying that guy didn't love the Lord because I know he did. He just got a little overzealous on that one. All right? But God says here, even if it comes to pass, but then they say it's because of this other God, don't listen to them. Don't go. You know, Jesus talks about that in regards to the end times. Yep. That there'll be such signs and wonders going on that if it were possible, it would deceive God's very elect. That's what he said. Because people want to go for the miracles. Oh, wow, what about this? And look what this person can do. And they flock that way. And they go that way. And they're cast about, back and forth. You know Jesus? You know the scriptures say, though he did so many miracles, they didn't believe in him? Remember they wanted to make him king? And we talked about this a few weeks ago in communion. They wanted to make him king. He fed the 5,000. Wow, this guy can feed us. Let's make him king. Maybe he is the Messiah. He goes, no. Unless you want me. Unless you want to love me. You have no part of me. And they all went away.
It's not about the miracles. It's not about the signs. It's not about the wonders, right? You know, if that was going on right now, people would flock there. People would go to see those things happen. And that's what's going to happen in the end times. And God says, but if they try to draw you away to worship the false God and it's not me, don't go. Jesus talks about this in the end times. He goes, some of the people are going to say, well, here is Christ and there is Christ. He says, believe them not. Jesus says when he comes again, that everyone's going to know it. It's not going to be in a corner. All right? Every eye shall see. The tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Okay? First time he came in humility. The second time he comes as the reigning King of kings and Lord of lords. It's clear. He goes, even if this dream, even if this thing comes to pass, but they try to draw you away to worship a false god, don't go, he says. Now watch. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you to know. Listen to what God does in us. He proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. I thank God that he did this for me. Because listen, I'm like you. I'm like everybody here. Okay? I came to Jesus because I wanted him to fix my relationship. That's why I came. And I heard about the salvation message. Supposedly got saved when I was 13. Like I said, I'm not sure on that. But I gave him back my life when I was like 19. Because I wanted him to fix my relationship. Okay, Lord, I'm praying to receive you again. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Now, can you do this for me? We all do that, though. God uses those things to draw us to himself. And God's not an evil God. He wants to repair and make all things new. That's just how he is. But I'm going to tell you this. I've never seen it once happen in 10 years of being a pastor. I've never seen it happen once in somebody's relationship. A lot of us come to the Lord because of a broken relationship. We do. I've never seen it happen once that relationship got repaired unless those people fell in love with Jesus Christ. I've never seen it once. Ever. Never. God will not let it happen. He will be first. He will share his glory with no other. He will not. I've never seen one relationship repaired between a husband and a wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it was, until those people fell in love because God was testing them and proving them to see if they loved him with all their heart and with all their soul. Never seen it once. I've seen many restored when people started to fall in love with Jesus Christ, though. So you can go to God honestly. You can go to God honestly and say, God, you know what? I am that person. I was like Pastor Matt. I am that person. Lord, I do just want you to fix this relationship with my husband or with my wife. But forgive me. Because I'm going to choose to worship you with my mind because you're God. You need to be first. So change my heart. Change my motives. Change my mind. I want to love you first. God will do that. Now, when he starts to do that, you really got to step out by faith because he might tear that other person away from you or he might let them go on their way. Let them go. Let them go and fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this wasn't a thing on marriages and marriage and singleness or any of that stuff, but he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to married couples, he says, let those who are married be as though they're not. What are you talking about? What does that mean? Well, Paul's saying this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What he's saying is that married couple should be so fallen in love with Jesus Christ and engaged in love with Jesus Christ that they're like children together. And that the cares of marriage just start to fade away a little bit. Look what he says. You shall walk after the Lord your God, verse 4, and fear him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. You shall serve him. and cleave unto him. You think God makes it clear of what he expects? He makes it simple. He doesn't make it difficult. Let's read it again. Walk after the Lord your God. Fear him. Don't fear what man can do to you. Don't fear what man thinks about you. Fear him. You know, I have this discussion with my son all the time. All the time. You know, he's growing up and he's starting to be so self-conscious. You know, they're going in, oh, my pants are ripped. My this is that and my that is this. Now, I need to be a little bit more concerned about those things. I know that. But I'm like, who cares? That's fine. Let's go. You look good. That's fine. Who cares if you have no laces in your sneakers? Let's go. And then my wife gets mad at me. And I said, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Who cares what anybody else thinks? I said, you live for the Lord. Don't worry about what, don't care about what anybody else thinks. Now, I know when they get into that age where they're self-conscious. We all went through that. I went through that for a long time. Probably till I was 30 years old. I don't know. Because fear God. Worry about what the Lord thinks. Very simple. Fear him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Serve him. Cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, listen to this, shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord God commanded you to walk in. So shall you put the evil way from the midst of you. Wow. God says when that prophet comes in, remember the children of Israel, they're a theocracy, which means God governed them. God says if a false prophet comes in, even if that sign comes to pass, if they try to turn you from me, you take them, you put them to death. Wow. God was zealous for the worship of his people. And he was jealous for it. Don't let them take you astray. I redeemed you. I bought you, he tells them. Not them, me. You cut it out, you put them to death. Now listen to this, verse 6. Pretty powerful verse here. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend, which is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor your fathers. He's going to go on to say, if they do that, don't do it. You break that relationship off. Look at the people he mentions. Your own brother, your own mother, your own son, your own daughter, your own wife of your bosom that's close to you, your friend, even your best friend that's close to your own soul. If they try to take you away, you cut it off. Wow. You see how the Word of God only gives glory to God? You see how every false religion doesn't do that? Jesus talked about this in the New Testament. Did he not? Your mother, your brother, your best friend, whoever it is, they try to take you away to worship false gods. You cut it off. Now listen to me. Hear me. I say this one time per sermon. I'll say it again. If you don't get anything out of the sermon tonight, get this. What your best friend or your wife or your mother or your brother want to do is make you worship their God. Okay? So what are you talking about? What do you mean? You know, we don't have little statues and we don't do what they did. What do you mean? Oh, yeah? Well, your best friend that's close to your own soul likes to party and drink, just as an example. Hey, what are you doing with this Jesus stuff, this loving Jesus stuff? You're nuts, man. You don't have any fun anymore? Come hang out with me. Come worship my God. What's your God? You know, my God is wine and beer and spirits. So you got to have the beer and you got to have the spirits too, right? There you go. False gods. What do they want to do? They want to make you worship false gods. They don't care about you. That's what they want to do. They want to cause you to worship their God. That guy's God is the bottle. He wants you to get in on that misery with him and worship that God with him. What about your mother and your father? Don't talk to me about it. They only want what's best for me, do they really? Okay. I know they might have the right intent, but they want to make you worship their God. I'm telling you right now. You know how many people come to Jesus? And they say, you know, Mom, Dad, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I want to live for him. I want to live for God. Do you want to do that too? No. Why not? And then they'll start to talk about, you giving any money to that church? Right? That's what I got. Not from my mother and my father, from my boss. Right? Because my boss wanted to keep me in the fold. Because he made a lot of money for the work I did. He paid me pretty good. He wanted to keep me in the fold. He was saying, worship my God. Forget about that. He went to the church and threatened the minister. My boss, not my mother, my father. I don't know where he was anyway. He went to the church and threatened the minister. Why? Because he wanted me to worship his God with him, which was work and running a business and money. That's what they want to do. I'm telling you right now. That's what they want to do. Oh, what about my best friend? What about my sister? What about this one? They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what your sister's going to do? Your sister's going to try to get you into the same misery that she's in, talking about everybody and gossiping about everything under the sun so you can get involved in that false God with her. That's what they do. Don't tell me they don't, because that's what they do. Even deeper than that, those who are brought up in a religious system, hear me. Those who were brought up, I wasn't brought up in any religious system, so believe me, I don't know what this feels like, those of you who were. My mother just brought me up to do whatever. Thank God that Jesus found me, though, I'll tell you right now. Anybody who was brought up in a religious system, when you try to break away from that family religious system, you know the pain and the heartache it causes your family? But what do they want you to do? You've told them, you know what? It's not about a religious system. It's about me, that God has a relationship with me. Don't you want to have that? No. This is how you were raised. This is what you're supposed to do. Because your father did it, your grandfather did it, so on and so forth, all the way back to forever. Some pride there, maybe. I want you to worship that religious system with them, that false God. Worship Jesus.
Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Jesus got through teaching about the straight gate that leads to eternity, so on and so forth. He talks about the call to discipleship. And then look in verse 25. And there went great multitudes, Luke 14, verse 25, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, listen to this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, you cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the costs, whether you have sufficient to finish it? You know what they started to do after that? They started to mock him. What is he talking about? Well, I think if Jesus is God, he has the right to say that to each and every one of us. Does that mean you go home and you hate on your wife and your mother? And no. But your love for him should pale in comparison than your love for them. Your love for him should be so on fire that if they try to turn you from him, you're willing to cut it off.
Go back to Deuteronomy and we'll finish up. So if wife, brother, mother, daughter, best friend tries to turn you away to these other gods, verse 7, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto you, or far from you, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, you shall not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. He's talking about these false religious systems here. Listen, your hand shall be first upon him to be put him to death. Listen to this. And afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust you away from the Lord God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. If you shall hear say in one of your cities, which the Lord God has given you to dwell therein, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then shalt you inquire and make search and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, you shall surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all the spoil of it in the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit for the Lord your God, and it shall be in heap forever. It shall not be built again. And there shall cleave not of the cursed thing to your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and have compassion upon you and multiply you as he had sworn unto your fathers. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord God to keep all his commandments, which I command you this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Now, awesome. God says this. If that diviner, if that false prophet comes in and he tries to draw you away, he goes, the witness that sees it, he's to be the one that cast the first stone on him. All right? And then he says, all the people are supposed to follow after him. You know, when they stoned, they weren't just skipping rocks. They took some boulders and they threw them on you. He says, the one that saw it, search diligently of it. If it's true, you cut him off. You stone him and then all the people. Now, why is that? Because I don't know if you noticed this yet in your private lives or in your church life or whatever it is, but you know what sin does? Sin doesn't only affect you, it affects everybody. You know, in the body of Christ, there's no such thing as telling on somebody. I just want to let you know that. In the body of Christ, you know, people come to me, Pastor Matt, I know this is going on, and, you know, and, well, who's it going on with? I can't tell you. Well, is it affecting their family, their marriage, the church? Yeah, but I can't tell you. Why not? And then I say, do you love them enough that we can correct them in love and tell them that not to live this way? Well, yeah, but I don't want them to know that I told you. And I said, well, I won't tell them you told me, but if they ask me, they're going to put two and two together. Be concerned about their soul. Be concerned about their life for Christ. Don't worry about them knowing it was you or whatever. Bring that stuff to the light so it can be cut off. Listen, God even went as far as to say, if there's a city that's turned away again, you take out the whole city, you leave it a heap. You know, a lot of us, we have so many idols in our lives, if we really started to cast them down before the Lord, there'd be a heap there. But you know what? Cast them down. Who cares about the heap? Because you know what the heap was? It was a bunch of garbage. That's all it was. Jesus is all that matters. He's all that's worthy.